The sicha that we're going to learn today is the sicha for Parshas Nitzavim, found in Chelek Yudalid, the third sicha in Chelek Yudalid. Parshas Nitzavim talks about negative things that would happen to Bnei Yisrael if they went against Hashem. So, in Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Torah says, perhaps there will be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose thoughts stray today from Hashem to go serve the gods of these nations, lest there is within you a root producing gall and bitter fruit. And the Torah goes on to talk about Hashem's anger towards them, and Hashem will separate him for harm from all the tribes of Yisrael, in accordance with the oath curses of the covenant, referring to the previous parsha, Parshas Kisavai. And the Torah continues to talk about Hashem's anger and the punishments, chas v'shalom, that will come upon this person. But in Perek Lamed, in the fourth Aliyah, Revi, the Torah turns on to a more positive note, and this is the focus of the sicha that we are going to review. So, Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, the Torah says, "V'haya ki yavoyu alecha kol hadvarim ha'ela habracha v'haklala asher nasati lefanecha v'hashevoisa el levavecha b'chol hagoyim asher hidichacha Hashem elikecha shama." When it happens that there comes upon you all these statements, the blessings and the curses that I have set before you, and you will restore your heart amongst the goyim where Hashem has exiled you. Vishafta ad Hashem elekecha, vishamata b'koiloi k'chol asher anoichi mitzavcha hayoim ata uvanecha b'chol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha. And you will return to Hashem and listen to him exactly as I am commanding you today, you and your sons, with all your heart and with all your soul, you will return. And then the Torah goes on to tell us some beautiful psukim, v'shav Hashem elokecha shavuscha v'richamecha v'sham v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim asher hefitzcha Hashem elokecha shama. Hashem will return back, will bring back all the returnees and be merciful towards you, and he will return and gather you from all the people that Hashem has dispersed you there. Im yeh nedachacha b'kzei ha-shamayim, misham yikabetzcha Hashem alakecha, u'misham yikachecha. Even if your exiled ones will be at the edge of the heavens, from there Hashem will gather you, and from there Hashem will take you. V'heviyacha Hashem elokecha el aretz asher yarshu avasecha v'yirishta v'hitivcha v'hirbacha me'avasecha, and Hashem will bring you back to the land that your forefathers inherited, and you will inherit it, and he will benefit you and multiply you more than your fathers. And incidentally, these psukim are used as the Rambam's third proof for the coming of Mashiach, for the proof that Mashiach is coming from the Torah. But our focus is going to be on the first two psukim from Perek Lamed. Again, when it happens that these things come upon you, all these statements, the blessings and the curses that I've set before you, and you will do teshuvah, and you'll return to Hashem, and you'll do the mitzvahs, and you'll return with a whole heart. There is one word in the pasuk that you may have noticed already that seems to stick out like a sore thumb. It seems to be not only not supporting the idea that the Torah is trying to bring out, but actually contradicting it. What's the point that the Torah is trying to bring out here? That all of these negative things that's discussed in the last perek will bring a person to do teshuvah. And they'll do a very, very intense tshuva with their whole heart and their whole soul. And Hashem will accept their tshuva and gather them from Golus and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. The word that sticks out is habracha. And then it continues that, v'haklala. when it happens that these things come to you, the blessings and the curses. We were just talking about curses. We were not talking about blessings. The blessings come after the teshuva. So the Rebbe's initial question is, the question that's feeding and leading the whole sicha is, what does it mean, the bracha? How does the bracha cause breaking of the heart, shviras halev, which arouses tshuva? And also the Rebbe says, why doesn't Rashi comment about this unusual word that doesn't seem to fit into the pasuk? This seems to be a classic error, so to speak, that Rashi would pick up on, I should say, an apparent error, something that's not logical, something that any Ben Chamesh Lamikra would right away notice and ask about, and yet Rashi ignores it. And we know that when Rashi ignores a question, he is telling us that the Ben Chamesh Lamikra already knows the answer based on something that's already been taught to us in the Torah. Now the Rebbe says, maybe you can say that these psukim are a prophecy, that the Torah is telling us that there's going to be bracha, and then there's going to be klala, first blessings and then negativity, and then will come the teshuva. But the Rebbe says, no, we can't say that this is a prophecy. First of all, in the next parsha, Parshas Vayelech, there you have a direct prophecy about what's going to happen in the future, and the psukim read very differently. So the pasuk says here, pasuk tezayin, and Hashem said to Moshe, you are about to die, and this people will arise and stray after the gods of the strangers, of the people, of the strangers of the land, meaning they're going to serve the gods of their neighbors that are amongst them, and they will forsake me, and they will break the covenant that I made with them. And then the next pasuk, and I will wax angry at them on that day, and I will forsake them, and I will conceal my face for them, for they are consuming, and many evils and troubles will happen to them. And they will say on that day, look, because God is not with me, did this evil happen to me? And there it's clearly a prophecy. The Eibishter is saying that after Moshe passes away, the Jewish people will have a tendency to, will become influenced by their non-Jewish neighbors. Also, in these psukim and Parshas Vayelech that are clearly foretelling the future, it only mentions negative things that the Jews will do and negative consequences that will come as a result of that. It doesn't talk about the bracha, the positive things. And finally, the Rebbe says, the Torah doesn't prophesize about brachais that will happen, because brachais that will happen are a consequence of our behavior. They're a result of our actions, like it tells us over and over again in the Torah, "Ubacharta b'chayim," choose life. And in Parshas Re'eh itself, this is the bracha that you will get if you will listen. So these psukim are not a prophecy. These psukim are coming to build up a hypothetical situation. If you go in the way of Hashem, and because of that, negative things happen, eventually those negative things will arouse a person to do teshuva, and Hashem will accept their teshuva. So we're left with the original question, what does the bracha have to do with the negative things that happen that will arouse a person to doing teshuva? Ois beis. What the parsha is teaching us is that the klala, the pain and negativity, will inspire a person not just to do tshuva, but to do the highest and deepest form of tshuva. Where do we see this? The pasuk says not only v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, but the pasuk continues b'chol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha. Doing tshuva with your whole heart is an abnormal type of tshuva, a very, very extreme description of tshuva. And what we would infer from that is that the pain that is stimulating the catalyst for this very deep tshuva is also a very deep pain, more than the normal pain that a person experiences. How is this pain more extreme than normal? Dafka, because the bracha came before the klala. The blessing came before the curse, before the pain. What does this mean? Whenever a person experiences pain and disappointment, it doesn't feel good. But if they were used to bracha, blessings, and then after that they have a lacking, the rug is pulled out from beneath them, now they're experiencing something very painful, that exasperates and exaggerates the pain that they feel. And this is the very extreme klala, one that comes after a bracha, one that is contrasted by a previous norm of good that causes the deep tshuva of b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Now this idea that when a person experiences negativity chas v'shalom after positivity, is that negativity is felt even more by them, is something that the Ben Chamesh L'Mikra is already familiar with. Where are they familiar with this? Four parshias earlier in Parshas Re'eh. On a completely different topic, the Eibishter is talking about tzedakah and says in Pasuk Zayin of Parshas Tes of Perek Tezvav, Ki yebacha evyoin me'achad achecha ba'achas sha'arecha ba'artzecha asher Hashem elekecha noisen lach. Loi sa'ameitz es lavavcha, v'loi sikpoitz es yodcha me'achecha ha'evyoin. If there should be a poor person amongst your brothers in one of the cities in the land that Hashem gave you, don't harden your heart and don't close your hand against your poor brother. Ki fosoyach tiftach es yodcha loi, v'ha'abeit ta'avitenu, dai machsoiroi asher yechsarloi. Rather, you should open your hand generously to him. You should extend a loan to him to cover his wants that he lacks. Here, these last words, dai machsoiroi asher yechsarloi, here the Torah teaches us that you have to give him what he is lacking. And that is relative to what he had before. If he was wealthy and he was used to having a horse to ride on, then you need to give him a horse because that's what he's used to. Even a servant to announce his arrival. That seems like very a luxurious compensation for his poor state. But the Torah is saying, Asher yechsar loy. He is lacking that because he was used to having that, and therefore it's necessary to give it to him in order to restore him to his peaceful state of being again. And since the Torah already told us that the lacking, the hole that a person feels in their life is commensurate to what they were used to, is relative to the prosperity that they had before. So therefore, the Ben Chamesh L'Mikra already knows that when the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayelech that a person will experience the bracha and the klala, it's obvious to the Ben Chamesh L'Mikra that the klala is a klala based on the amount of bracha that the person had before. And therefore, Rashi doesn't need to comment and explain to us why that unusual word bracha is put into the parsha, into the Torah. Now in Ois Gimel, the Rebbe says, if this extreme form of tshuva, of b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, comes as a catalyst for having had a good setup, the bracha, and then that good setup being taken away and transformed to a klala, a negative situation. What if a person doesn't have that, both of those dynamics, that contrast between good and bad? What if he only was mediocre to begin with, and now he has a klala? Will he be able to experience this high level of tshuva that the Torah says comes after the very intense pain of having had good and then that good being replaced by bad, God forbid? So the Rebbe tells us, let's look to Parshas Re'eh, the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, to answer this question. Again, four Parshias earlier, Parshas Re'eh. Here we are going to a different part of Parshas Re'eh, not the part that we discussed talking about the Evyon, but in Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Chavav and Chav Zayin. Here the Torah tells us, just turn to it, here the Torah tells us, at the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, Re'eh Anoichi Noisein Lefanecha Hayoim Bracha V'Klala. Look, I am putting you before you today blessing and, God forbid, a curse. Habracha Asher Tishmu El Mitzvois Hashem Alekecha Asher Anoichi Mitzav Chayoim. The bracha that you will listen to the mitzvah that Hashem gave you today. Vaklola im loisishmu el mitzvah Hashem alakecha, and the curse if you don't listen to Hashem's commandment, the sartem and aderach asher anoichi mitzav chayim eschem hayim lalechas acharei elokim acherim asher loyedatem, and you turn from the way that I command you to follow other gods that you do not know. Note the difference in the language between the bracha and the klala. When it comes to the bracha, the Torah says, es habracha asher tishmu'u, which you would think means the bracha that you listen. When it comes to the klala, the Torah says, haklala im loy sishmu'u, the curse if you do not listen. Rashi comments on this word and tells us, es habracha al minas asher tishmu'u, the blessing which comes on the condition that you listen. But still, even Rashi doesn't go as far as translating asher to im, on if you don't listen. What is the difference between almanas, on condition, and im, if? So the Rebbe points out that im, the language that's used when the Torah discusses the klala, va'klala im loisishmu'u, im is a condition for something, and only if you fulfill the criteria will the condition take place. And this is true about the punishments. The punishment will not happen unless, God forbid, the catalyst, the cause of the punishment, takes place. Almanas is a little bit different. Again, almanas is the way Rashi touches up the word asher. Es habracha asher tishmu, Rashi says, es habracha almanas asher tishmu. Almanas, the Rebbe says, is a different type of deal. Almanas is the case when the reward or the consequence, the result, is given immediately. But the condition is still given so that the request is sustained. And that's true about the way the Eibishter gives us brachos. Hashem gives us brachos right away, but tells us to keep Torah mitzvah so that the brachos will be able to be sustained. So therefore, we can infer that bracha and klala are relevant to everybody. Everybody experiences good in their life because the Eibishter already set out by giving us all of the bracha. He already gave us all of the installments of the bracha. He already paid it forward before we even deserved it and asked us to do the good so that we can keep up and maintain the bracha that he's already dishing out to us, so to speak. And therefore, everybody experiences the Eibishter's brachas. That's a given. If, chas v'shalom, that bracha was taken away, then we have the contrast which leads to the greater tshuva. And the Rebbe says in Ois Dalid that this is a lesson that is specifically connected to Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Tov that always comes after Parshas Nitzavim, and Yom Kippur. That Hashem is saying, I am promising you that you will have bracha irrespective of your status. But in order that the bracha be fulfilled and sustained, you should fulfill Hashem's will. Why is it that we deserve the bracha even before we did what we need to do in order to earn the bracha? This is because we are royalty. We're children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We are worthy of all the brachas just by nature of who we are. But of course, we want to live up to who we are. And the Rebbe says, of course, we will definitely fulfill the condition of listening the mitzvahs, so that we will continuously have brachos. And if we have continuous brachas, how will we fulfill what it says in Parshas Nitzavim, that the tshuva, the highest tshuva, comes after the klala, chas v'shalom? So the tshuva that we'll experience will be not necessarily a tshuva for our sins, but a tshuva is the constant process of bringing our neshama closer to Hashem, which is called tshuva ilah. And the Rebbe continues by saying this year, which is also relevant to this Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei Aleph, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we know that Shabbos is the same Oisius letters as tshuva. But tshuva, as it is configured in the word Shabbos, shows us that we're returning to Hashem in a way of tshuva ilah, the higher level of tshuva, not a tshuva that's full of regret for sins, but in a way of Shabbos, in a way of a restful and joyous way of doing tshuva. And just as a side note, this sicha reminds me of a story that Rabbi Manas Friedman says about a man in his shul in Minnesota who was a Holocaust survivor, very bitter, would come to shul but wouldn't participate. And one time his daughter or son had a child, and he had his first grandchild. And everybody heard about it in shul, and they were very excited and wishing him mazel tov. But he still looked gloomy. He didn't look excited by this child, by his grandson. So Rabbi Friedman went up to him and said, "You know what? You don't have a right to mourn the 6 million and all the tragedy that you endured." And he looked at him with shock. "How can you say that?" And Rabbi Friedman said, "If you can't celebrate new life, then why are you sad about the loss of so many lives?" And the lesson that the message he was trying to convey was that in order to be able to experience the lacking and daven for the fulfillment of the klolos that we experience, the lacking, the void in our life, we need to really first recognize how much bracha that we have, undeserving, just by nature of the fact that Hashem gives it to us. Almanas, because you're royalty, I'm paying it forward, I'm giving it to you before you even deserve it. And to really feel all the brachas in our lives is the first step. And then we feel the klala, and we daven, and whatever we're lacking inspires us to do tshuva and to grow, and ultimately for Mashiach to come, as these prophecies these psukim are also prophecies about Yemaisa Mashiach. But the first thing is to recognize how much bracha that we have and how much bracha the Eibishter is giving us on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we should be zeicha to only good and the ultimate good of Mashiach.